love, courage, truth. Glenn Beck.
America, we've had a tough year. We have really had a tough year. California, hell has now arrived in California. 22 wildfires have sprung up all over the state, scorching everything in their path. As of this morning, 23 people have been killed and 300 people are missing. Despite the numerous earthquakes this state has seen, this may end up being the worst natural disaster in California history. 170,000 acres of land and over 3,500 buildings have already been destroyed, and this has zero containment. 20,000 people have been evacuated. Thousands have lost their power. Napa Valley has taken the worst of it. The images are straight apocalyptic. Entire communities have been wiped off the map. Neighborhoods near Santa Rosa look like World War II pictures of Stalingrad or Hiroshima. Rivers of wine are boiling as they leak out of scorched vineyards. Many residents are in the worst hit areas that never even knew the fires were sweeping down on them. They had no idea until the last minute. All was quiet until the shouts of frantic neighbors jarred people awake and out of their homes. As they walked out into their front yard, the sound smoke detectors could be heard from nearby communities. Horns from cars added to the chaos as families sped down the roads in desperation. There wasn't any warning? No. The answer is no. Why? Well, for one, the cell towers are being wiped out, and the fires and the landlines are all being destroyed by these fires. So you're not able to make a phone call. The area had access to the federal wireless emergency alert system, but it's unclear now at this point if authorities even used it. And if so, why didn't people receive anything? San Jose, believe it or not, has had this problem before. Just a few months ago, the city got nailed for not warning the public of destructive floodwaters. And a report found that there was a general lack of institutional knowledge on how to use the wireless emergency alert system. So wait, how much did they pay for it? And nobody around knows how to use it? Lives are at stake, and those in charge didn't know what to do. May I ask how this is possible in Silicon Valley? The government is in charge. That's why the tech community needs to come together and ensure this doesn't happen again, because the local government is a joke. They usually are. They're not getting it done. A cold front is now blowing in this morning, creating winds that will keep these fires moving fast. Again, zero containment. The carnage is expected to last at least until Saturday. Whew, America, it's been a hard year, hasn't it? From the hurricanes, one after another, to massive floodwaters, to drought, and now this. But you know what? It's given us a chance to come together. It's given us a chance to put things into perspective and find out what really matters. And who we really are. And who our neighbor, how we really feel about our neighbor. May I ask if you would like to help your fellow man? Go to mercury1.org now. Donate on the front page. We are aiding the first responders now, trying to get them the supplies that they need. And we need your help at mercury1.org. If you don't have a widow's mite, that's cool. Send your prayers towards California today.
It's Thursday, October 12th. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
I have to share a story with you that I find just so comforting. This comes in from California. This is from Cade Boger. Cade and Melissa Boger, they live at what's called Ace's High Ranch, and they have some horses in the area. 10:30 last night, this is what Cade wrote with pictures of his ranch going up in flames. 10:30 last night, the family was safely evacuated, but I realized my horses weren't safe from the fast-moving fire that was devouring our ranch. I got up to my house as the second California fire engine arrived in my yard. And there's my 15-foot Old Glory snapping in the wind, blowing 40, gusting at 60 plus. I wanted to pull it down because I knew it would burn up or be torn to shreds in the wind, but there wasn't any time. The fire line was moving so fast. I whistled for the horses. I got them through the gate and got them to safer ground. The rest of the night and this morning has been a blur. And then I got home to my still-standing house at 3:30. I was blown away to see my flag. It wasn't flying in front of my house. It had been taken down and folded respectfully and placed safely on my couch by the firemen. It was a little frayed and sooty, but the gesture meant so much to me, I stood there and looked at it and cried. What kind of people are these? They save a man's home and family, and then that? They're just the best kind of people, I guess. I'll make sure that Facebook post is up at glenbeck.com and also at on my Facebook page as well. There's a couple of things. You know, we were talking last hour about the president going after NBC and saying that NBC should possibly have their license revoked. It goes against everything that you as a conservative have stood for. And we're going to get back to that a little later because this is a really important thing. You can disagree with NBC and you can even say that NBC is lying, but that's not a reason to have the government suggest we revoke license or start looking into license if we disagree with their writing or believe that they are lying. Remember, we've spent the last 30 years with people saying that Rush Limbaugh lies, that Glenn Beck lies. No, we have a different opinion and we look at the news pattern differently. And quite honestly, when you sit down and you talk to liberals who have thought you've lied over the years and you show them the fact pattern, sometimes they open up their eyes and go, wait a minute, I didn't know any of that. Yeah, because they weren't lies. We cannot put ourselves in a situation to where the next president can make the same case to license people on the internet or to deregulate or to, I'm sorry, to de-license radio stations that are engaging in talk radio. Bad idea. It was bad with the last president. It's bad with this president. We'll get into that. I really wanted to spend some time here talking about NBC and what they have done with Harvey Weinstein. They have this high and mighty, you know, we've got to do this. We have to tell the truth. We have to stand up for power and stand up to power. Really? Really? Where were you?
Yeah. I mean, where were they this whole time? I mean, this there was this attempt to how often have they preached to other Republicans? How come you will not stand up to this Donald Trump? Where are you? You need to speak truth to power no matter how much it hurts. They've demanded that from every American over and over and over and over again. And it's a very American thing to do, right? I mean, that is legitimately what we were founded on, speaking truth to power. So it connects with every American. However, it's hard to connect with that concept from somebody who's not doing it themselves. I mean, if you look at this Weinstein thing, where were you with this? This is, they had this story. And it's not just some crazy conservative conspiracy where you're trying to make MSNBC look bad. The guy who wrote the story, Ronan Farrow, was on with Rachel Maddow and went and basically said, yeah, well, I had the story here. And they would not take it. I had to take it to the New Yorker. They tried, NBC has tried now to come up and say, well, look, we wasn't ready to report.
Yeah, it didn't really hit all of our standards. Yes, it did.
And by the way, and for all the things that you could say about the New Yorker, which is not a conservative publication by any means, this is what they are known for. Ridiculous levels of fact checking when it comes to international stories and all sorts of stuff. This is a very difficult standard to hit. The New Yorker is known as probably the most difficult standard to hit in traditional sort of mainstream media fact-checking. So the idea that NBC would get rid of it because of this is something that the reporter who worked for NBC didn't believe, and the employees at NBC and MSNBC don't seem to believe either. And when you're abandoning that, I mean, everybody knows they had the story. Everybody knows that they gave it up. They gave it up because they had some hesitance for the consequences that would come from actually publishing it, whether it was other associated media people that would not deal with them anymore, or whether it was Weinstein himself suing them, whatever it was, the truth had an agenda there.
I want you to listen to a couple of quotes here. First, here is Pharaoh on women being afraid of Weinstein and the story. Listen.
Just to be clear, this is a woman who told you, detailed her allegation about Weinstein to you, was going to be on the record, and withdrew her permission.
On camera, on the record in January, and withdrew.
Because she says the legal angle is coming after me. Does that mean the Weinstein companies? Does that mean Weinstein personally?
I will tell you that source after source said they were receiving harassing calls. Some of those are also discussed in this story. These women were afraid, and based on my reporting, legitimately afraid.
This is what happened with the people who spoke out against Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing. They all report, I was harassed, I was called, I was threatened.
And look at what they said about Trump. I mean, again, they did the same thing with Clinton. They were, look, this is a vast right-wing conspiracy, and we should really give that some credence, that theory. Let's see what we can find there. With Donald Trump, it was immediate. I mean, the way they even talk about him on the Access Hollywood bus is as if he was doing those things to unwilling women on the bus.
Yes.
When instead, he was, I don't think it was a good moment, and I think
it's a horrible
strongly,
moment. Yes, strongly
criticized him for that.
Yes.
However,
it's not rape.
It's not Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah, he didn't do it.
There's no evidence of that at this point. And you listen to the way, remember, this audio is coming from Rachel Maddow's show on MSNBC, talking to Ronan Farrow, who is also an employee of NBC. And they are sitting here criticizing NBC, as you'll hear in this audio.
So here's the next one, NBC getting pressure.
So Ronan, you just said that one of these women spoke on camera back in January. Why did you end up reporting this story for The New Yorker and not for NBC News?
Look, you would have to ask NBC and NBC executives about the details of that story. I'm not going to comment on any news organization's story that they, did or didn't run. I will say that over many years, many news organizations have circled this story and faced a great deal of pressure in doing so.
Hmm.
And there are now reports emerging publicly about the kinds of pressure that news organizations face in this.
Mm-hmm.
And that is real. In the course of this reporting, I was threatened with a lawsuit personally by Mr. Weinstein. And, we've already seen that The Times has been publicly threatened with a suit. I don't want to describe any suits leveled at other organizations that I work with. But certainly this is a considerable amount of pressure that outlets get as well.
And
it's interesting because he's walking that line and he's making, he's being careful there, but you can obviously hear what he's saying. And it's interesting that Maddow even asks about it. I mean, she deserves some credit, I think, there for actually making sure this gets on the air.
So here's the problem with NBC on this one. The reason why this most likely happened was it's not just NBC News. It's NBC programming as well. So Weinstein, how many projects was NBC Universal doing with Weinstein? How many programs, how many stars could he affect? So I'm guessing that it wasn't just the lawsuits that were causing the pressure.
Oh, yeah.
I'm guessing it's NBC Entertainment who was like, you got to stop this.
And not to mention allies of Weinstein who would no longer potentially work with NBC. If
correct.
Matt Damon or whatever is
correct.
Had a project he was working on, maybe he doesn't come on all those shows next
correct.
Time he's doing a movie because he's pissed about this. I'm not
correct.
Saying that's even a rash. I'm not blaming Damon for that. But it's there was so much hesitance. And you want to get something like that right. That's you should get the story right. But they had the story right, by all accounts. And they held off on it for some unknown reason that even the guy who wrote the story is critical of.
So the reason why we're bringing this up is just to show how hypocrites don't win. You just don't win. You have to be consistent. You must be consistent. NBC says, we're going to speak truth to power. We're going to. Well, no, you didn't do it when it affected your side under Barack Obama. We all know that. You didn't ask the tough questions because you had access and everything else. Okay, we got it. That's why there's so many people in America that are mad at you. Look at the way you're treating Megyn Kelly. Look at how you are throwing her under the bus. You're spending all of this money and you're torpedoing yourself. It's so stupid. You're so self-destructive. So then what happens? You come in and say, well, I think we've learned some lessons and we're going to go after, you know, maybe we were a little too soft on Barack Obama. So we're going to go after Donald Trump because we've learned our lesson. Really? Harvey Firestein or Weinstein. How about explain this? You had it. You decided not to. Why? And I believe in many circles, it is not just because of money and access. But it's also because he does a lot of good on our side.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's a really bad guy, but I mean, look at how much good he does on our side politically. Are we guilty of engaging in that at all in our lives?
Glenn Beck.
So, Harvey Weinstein, he's going, you know, he's pulling a Roman Polanski. He's out of the country. He's going to rehab someplace. I guarantee you it's like with Hitler's family in Argentina. The guy is never going to be, he's never going to be in a place where they can extradite him. Guarantee it. As he was getting into the car, listen to his last statement in the press. Now remember, he's going to get help. Listen.
We got to see you doing okay.
Thank you.
Guys, I'm not doing okay.
You're not?
I'm trying. I gotta get help, guys. You know what? We all make mistakes. Second chance, I hope. Okay?
No problem.
Thanks, guys.
Okay, we all make mistakes. It's like Bernie Madoff going, I didn't. Okay, you always carry the one. I mean, you've never made a math mistake. There's a difference, man.
There's a bit of a whoopsie.
Yeah, there was an accounting error, okay? You've never had one of those? No, not like that.
No. It's 30 years of serial harassment of women, multiple rape accusations.
Charges.
But, you know, we all have our whoopsies. You know, I think that's the way to communicate that message.
No, he is going to be on the slopes with Roman Polanski soon. And Hollywood will love him.
Yeah, how long you think? He's obviously got quite a...
What time is it now?
It really could be today.
It really could be today.
If he makes an important work that takes on Donald Trump, he'll be back. He'll be back in the good graces.
Yep.
Glenn Beck.
You know, years ago, I told you the whole thing is going to turn inside out and upside down. And everything that you thought was solid will be liquid. And everything you thought you could trust, you can no longer trust. And we're in the middle of that right now. If you look at how everything is turning inside out and you look at some brands that have been trusted, I think the number one trusted brand in America still, non-divisive brand. Number one, I think, is Oreos. I mean, nobody's against Oreos.
Well,
and if Oreos ever gets political, I'm still eating them.
Right. With all the mystery flavors they're coming out with, I mean, you got to still go with it.
Yeah. I mean, they could make them in the shape of my head and they could say, eat him. He's that evil. And I would still be eating Oreos. But that's a different story. Yeah. But if you look at all of the brands that are going, they're now changing the name of the Weinstein Group. Gone. How much was that worth? NBC, how much is that worth? And look at how it is so divisive now. There's two other brands that have just taken huge hits, and one of them is Trump. The Trump hotels are struggling, except the ones where they're close access to him. So the one Mar-a-Lago is doing well.
The DC one.
And the DC one is doing well. But everywhere else, it's struggling.
Yeah, they're having issues now with sports franchises that used to be big connoisseurs of Trump products, which you kind of would understand, right? They're kind of glitzy and they're obviously high priced. A lot of the NBA teams, when they played the Knicks or the Nets, would go and stay at Trump Soho. And there's a Washington Post story about how now, I think there were 17 that had stayed there, and at least 16 of those teams have now said they're no longer staying at any Trump facilities.
The one brand that has gone from really America's brand to now deeply in trouble is the NFL. And there's new stats out on the NFL brand.
Yeah, they're talking about how what brands are most polarizing. And you know, some of them you'd expect, like CNN, for example. Among Clinton voters is plus 54 favorability. Among Trump voters is minus 28. It's an 82-point spread. So that is one of the highest one. NBC News is a 72-point spread. There's a bunch, too, that are conservative-leaning, where that are big spreads. Chick-fil-A, for example. More favorable 47-point spread among Republicans.
It's crazy. It's a chicken sandwich place.
Right, but they're associated with that, you know. Cabela's, right? Like, you're outdoorsy, guns. Okay, 45-point spread towards Republicans. Where, you know, Fox Business is a 46-point spread for Republicans. You have CBS News is a 48-point spread, but towards Democrats. Democrats favor it more. The number one on the entire list is Trump Hotels, which is now a 99-point spread. But again, he's the president of the United States. That's to be expected.
I mean, if it was Obama Hotels, it would be the same.
Of course.
It would be the same.
There's not much to take out of this. Yeah. The one that's interesting, and it's brand new, is the National Football League, which is now a 62-point spread between Democrats and Republicans. Democrats view it favorably by 38 points, and Trump voters minus 24. And that's all new. And you'd think, well, that's because of the anthem thing.
It's not.
It's actually not because of the anthem thing. We've got to get to that at some point.
Yeah, we're going to get to that on tomorrow's program. So where are the brands that you can trust? This is where the entrepreneur comes in. Because as I've also said to you, as these things change, you keep your credibility and you might weather the storm. And everything is being redesigned right now. Go out and redesign it yourself. Otherwise, you're going to live in another design by somebody else. If you don't build your dreams, somebody else is going to hire you to build their dreams.
So a few years ago, we had a kid, I'd almost say a kid, Joshua Parker, who came into the studios back when we were in New York, and he actually started his own company.
Joshua, how old were you when you were on the show with us?
17.
17. You started your company at 11.
Yes, 11. So I started making maple syrup when I was 11 on a school field trip. They showed us how. I went home and boiled it on a stove, and then the next year, my grandparents bought me a small evaporator to boil it in my backyard. And then when I was 15, I was like, this is something I can do. If I do it well enough, I won't have to go to college. Dad, will you help me? You know,
that's
and
good inspiration
so
there.
He said, if the bank is crazy enough to co-sign on a loan, I'll do it, and or give us a loan, I'll co-sign on it. And so we went to the bank. The bank said yes, and we went into business together.
He's really the crazy one there, by the way. He's co-signing. The bank is giving the loan to him.
How great is that to have a dad like that?
That's awesome.
It really is. I mean, he was none of this would be possible without him.
Yeah.
And so having a dad like that has been amazing.
So, okay, so you started making real maple syrup, and this is no joke. My son drinks it straight from the bottle. He really does. We get your syrup. When we get it, we can't keep. We have to hide it. I swear to you. He's 13, and he sees your syrup, and he's like, "Oh my gosh! No, Rafe! No, those are for pancakes." So anyway, he's your biggest fan. He's your biggest fan. So you started making the maple syrup, and it went really well. And what's happened since?
So after I first got that first loan and went into business, I had my first year of making a lot of syrup in upstate New York. I'm from way up by the Canadian border, where it's maple country. And then in June of 2015, I was actually on the show with you. And so that was really our first big thing where we all of a sudden got a whole bunch of online orders, and we started to kind of be substantiated as a real national brand. And so after that, by the end of that year, we were in 500 stores.
Unbelievable.
And so we had grown. And then last fall, we went on the show Shark Tank. And there's no deal, and that was okay. But this year, we've expanded. We've come out with an organic maple cotton candy, a maple butter, which is a delicious spread.
Oh, my gosh.
And, of course, the maple syrup.
Oh, my gosh. Would you please introduce your wife? She's sitting here.
Yes.
Please introduce your wife.
This is my wife, Allie Parker. We got married in January of this year. And so we are in
business. You guys are breaking. How old
together.
Are you?
I'm 19 and she's 21.
That's like
you're breaking every rule of society. That is so great.
You're making everyone in the audience feel like failures. I hope you realize that.
I know.
I do.
We do secretly hate you.
Yes. But you brought us cotton candy, so we'll let you in anyway. And Al, you're actually the chief marketing officer for the company?
Yes.
How did you guys meet?
So we actually met at CPAC. I was working for the Ted Cruz campaign. And so.
I knew I liked you.
Yeah,
but it's just amazing because we really believe and have kind of bonded over the fact that that business is the most powerful platform for ministry, and so we can take these products that God has given us and bring it to the rest of America in new delicious ways, and really be able to change people's lives through business. And so, working together this year, we've launched into. Two regions of Costco, two regions of Whole Foods, Wegmans, and a handful of other retailers. And, you know, God has just been very, very good to us this year. And it's been an amazing journey since we started.
So you're in Wegmans and who else?
Costco, Wegmans, Whole Foods,
Costco,
and a few others.
Whole Foods too.
Yes.
Wow.
This is about to be in my mouth as well.
Yeah, I know. So this is Parker's Maple Cotton Candy. Yes. There's two quotes on here, which I think are great. 114 servings, calories per serving. The biggest serving of the best tasting 114 calories ever. Mark Cuban said that. Wow. And then there's another quote underneath your signature and your little face. Let's see. When I first produced my first bottle of Parker's 100% real maple syrup as an 11-year-old in 2009, I saw a day when I would when it could cover the earth. Okay, just most pancakes and waffles in America. Parker's real maple butter and real maple cotton candy soon followed, and I knew it had to be shared. Made from real cane sugar, real maple sugar. Hope you enjoy the delicious, smooth, not too sweet 100% maple cotton candy. Your taste buds will never forget. Then you sign it, and underneath it says John 15:5.
Yes.
What is John 15:5?
So it's I am the branches. You are the I'm the vine. You're the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And so it's something that when I was 15 and designed our first package. It was something that I put on there, and it was just, to me, it was like this company, there's no reason for my dad to say yes. There's no reason for the bank to say yes. There's no reason for all the people who helped along the way to say yes. And, every night it was just me praying like, God, please, you know, please open this door and I'll do everything I can to make this happen. And he did, and it was just, it truly showed that, when you are willing to work hard, but also put praying and faith first. There's nothing that God won't open or make happen for you. So
that's great. I mean, it's so you see capitalism be vilified so often, yeah. And then you hear things like that. I mean, and also you eat things like cotton candy.
This is really good. Now let me ask you this.
I've never had anything like that before.
You realize when you hit my age, you're going to be fat like me. Because there's absolutely no way. I used to be skinny like you. I could eat anything.
And I was really impressed with Allie when I first started this, because I'm like, wow, chief marketing officer 20. This is the marketing. This is going to be the easiest job in the world.
It is.
It's cotton candy made out of maple syrup.
This is really good.
It's really delicious. And it has that maple taste. So,
right.
What's it like trying to grow a company like this? Mm-hmm. I'm always fascinated by these stories. I'm addicted to that podcast, How I Built That. Have you guys listened to that?
Yes.
You guys would,
yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It seems like you should be on it. But just going through and taking it from, hey, I went on a school trip and got maple syrup and figured out how to make it, to get to Wegmans and Costco. What is that process like? And make the answer long so I can eat this.
well, I mean, A lot of it is just getting the word out that, you know, we exist. There are so many maple companies already on the market. And what we're trying to do is just kind of reinvent the maple industry. We're taking products like maple syrup, and we're making it into maple butter, maple cotton candy.
Is maple, excuse my ignorance, is maple big around the rest of the world?
So it's not around the rest of the world, but the Northeast is definitely the wheelhouse of it. Right. And then the rest of the country is beginning to hop on board. And so there was actually a study done by the University of Rhode Island that said that, you know, maple's high in antioxidants, has a lower glycemic index than most honeys, and they called it a superfood. And so we just kind of hit it where I had a passion for real maple. All of a sudden, there was these health articles coming out saying that real maple is good for you, and it's actually, you know, if you're going to eat sugar, you should eat maple. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of hit that curve right at the right time, and we have the right products at the right time. And so we've been able to really get traction through that. And as you said, I mean, capitalism gets vilified so much. And when you look at companies that, even some of the ones that you're just talking about, that are really good. I mean, Chick-fil-A,
yeah.
I think that we do a good job of this. I think that they're like Nature Nate's Honey here in Dallas puts God first. There's a whole list of companies that really do take capitalism and the free markets and turn it into something good and benefit people's lives. Yeah. And so that's what
capitalism
really
is supposed to be.
Yes.
It's supposed to be serving people.
Yeah. You know what I want to do is I want to take a big handful of this. I want to put it in pancake batter and then make the pancakes with it inside. Have you done this yet?
I have not tried that yet.
He's a food scientist. He'd make you look like a rookie. Thank you so much.
Yes.
Thanks for coming
Thank you so much.
Okay. So if you don't, give a website for people who don't have it in the grocery store.
It's parkersmaple.com. Parkersmaple.com. And again, it's in Costco and Wegmans and Whole Foods.
So good to meet you guys. Keep breaking all of the rules.
We are married young.
Yeah.
So there's hope for millennials. I mean, we're really trying to grow this company and work hard to do it. Really there's hope for America. You know, we think that if we can inspire other young entrepreneurs or people who maybe don't have what my dad was to me, I think that we can, help the next generation really pursue free markets and free people. So
if my son turns out to be half as focused as you are, I will have done a great job. Your father did amazing, amazing work. Thank you both for coming in.
Thank you.
Glenn Beck.
I absolutely love those guys. Joshua has been on the program before, and I please go to, what is their website?
ParkersMaple.com.
ParkersMaple.com. Go there, and really, their maple syrup is unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. And it's all pure and organic and everything else. This cotton candy is, I guess you could just order it online if you don't have a Wegmans or, Costco has it, so you'd have a Costco.
I've never had anything like that. It's like, it's cotton candy.
No, it's weird. This cotton candy thing is catching on. Remember we had a Christmas party or something, and a woman was making specialty cotton candy, remember?
Kinda, yeah.
Yeah, it was at our house. It was a friend of a friend, and she makes this cotton candy in all different flavors, and so it's starting to catch on. This is the first time I've ever had maple syrup cotton candy, and it's really good.
Mm.
It's really good. I just love their story. I love their spirit, and, you know, why boycott when you can do something great and just help them out? ParkersMaple.com.
Glenn Beck.